1 John 4, verses 1 to 6 tonight. 1 John 4, verses 1 to 6. We've studied in 1 John, we've been studying about true believers, a person who gives their life to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, a person who is then indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and they become a new person in Christ. And the fruit of that life is love. And that's what John has been talking about. A person then loves God, obeys God, abides in the Lord, and practices righteousness, and has the love of God in their heart. A love for God and a love for others. That's the mark of a Christian. Because that's the fruit of the Spirit. Difference between one that's just religious or one that is born again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and he's been sharing that. How you'll know that? By one who loves the brethren. We've been studying that for the last few weeks about loving in deed and in truth, not just in word and in tongue. And next time we'll get back to that topic of love. And it's so important to demonstrate that because we represent Christ. But today, John takes a little break in all of this and he cautions believers. He warns the believers, those in Christ, about false doctrine and false teachers. That's what we have in 1 John 4, 1 to 6. Remember in 1 John chapter 2, 18 and 19, he talked about those that went out, 19, they went out from us, but were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, and none of them were of us. They're a type of antichrist. You know, he's been talking about loving, but just because we have the love in God in us and in our heart doesn't mean we can't call good, good, and evil, evil. See, there's good and evil in the world. And we are to love even our enemies, Jesus said. But that has nothing to do with knowing what's good and what's evil. It doesn't mean we have to go along with everyone, you know, who shares things in the name of God. It doesn't mean that they're right or that we have to go along with them. And that's what he's telling them. Loving doesn't mean agreeing. We can love people without agreeing with them. That's what God wants us to do. Loving means speaking truth. When you love someone, you speak the truth. Isn't it horrible to be lied to? We don't like to be lied to. And so we want truth and we want to share truth and the truth about the gospel, about being born again. And many times people won't love us because of that, but it doesn't mean we still don't love. There is truth and there is lie. And there are false teachers. See, because these people could have got confused. They've come to the Lord, and it seems that some that were with them in the congregation went out and are now preaching other things. And so we still have to love, but it doesn't mean that you can't call good, good, and evil, evil. Hey, what they're teaching is wrong. It's evil. And we have to continue to share truth. See, there is truth and there is lie. There are deceivers, false teachers. See, but we have the Holy Spirit in us and we know truth. In John 14, 26, it says, he will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit tells us what's true. Did you ever think when you hear something, hey, that's not quite right? There's something wrong about this? That's the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit will always testify of Jesus and who he is. And that's what our text is about today. Our faith is all about Jesus Christ, God's Son, and his deity. That's all that our faith is about, the Christian faith. About Jesus Christ and his deity, God, God in the flesh, the Son of God. And what we do is we declare the truth about Jesus, who he is. He's the Christ, the anointed, the Son of God. And it starts off in verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Some might come to you and says, God told me this. We can't trust it unless it aligns with God and His Word. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Do not believe every spirit, but test them. If someone's speaking in the name of God or they believe God gave them a word, test it. Because there are false prophets. There are people who profess to be speaking for God. There are false teachers. Today, it's very popular to talk about spiritualism, having some spiritualism, some spirit. But you notice, and even in a lot of churches, they talk about this spiritualism and spirituality. But they don't mention the name of Jesus very often. The big movement in that. Don't believe everything you hear concerning spiritual matters. And he's pinning it down here. It's all about Jesus. You'll be talking not so much about spiritualism, but about Jesus. That's our faith. Just because someone says, God said, or the Lord told me, or I think this, or God would have me say this, don't just believe it. And that's so important for a new Christian. I thank God we were brought up in a Bible-teaching church when we came to the Lord. Teaching the Word of God, just going through the Word of God, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. I'm so thankful. We have a great life because of that, because we're grounded. And we know what the truth is. So he says, test the spirit behind the speaker. There's many cults, false teachers, false prophets. They represent themselves, the devil, and not God. There are false prophets, liars, who really aren't speaking for God, but they say they are. We studied in 1 John 2:18, as I went to before, there are those false teachers who are the spirit of Antichrist and not Jesus Christ. A person can come across very loving. See, he's been teaching about love, and that's the sign of a believer in loving. There are those that can love, not in a true sense the way the Lord would have them love, but they can show love and come across loving. It seems until you challenge them, then all of a sudden they're not too loving anymore. But they can come across very loving. But you don't want to believe everything they say. Test the spirit that's behind them. Because they can act very nice and loving. There are those false teachers who have the spirit of Antichrist. And he says they will come on the scene and come on the scene. The great one will come on the scene in the last days. But there are those after Antichrist who are powered by Satan, the devil, and not God. So there's not just the Holy Spirit, but there's an evil spirit in the world. There is a spiritual realm. We don't see it. It'd be nice if we could see it. We'd probably pass out and see that battle for souls. There's a spiritual realm. And there are the followers of the Lord and the followers of Satan. We can't be deceived and misled. We need to know the truth and be alert. And know our Bible. If you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. Now the Spirit, and this is the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. See, that's going to happen. They're going to depart from the true faith. They weren't really born again. And they're going to listen to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. There's doctrines of demons. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit and not just what makes us happy. Let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemings of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not in a battle that we can see, or we can see someone, but we're against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There's a battle going on for souls. When he mentions in verse 12, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, there are these armies of Satan at different levels attacking his followers. And they want you. They want people to leave God, to not believe in God. And they're around. And people are influenced by them. So we need to be careful who we believe. Now, you might say, well, how do I know I'll never get deceived? What's going to keep me from trusting someone that looks so right on, yet they're a little bit off? Or you don't even know if they're a little bit off because you don't know the Bible. There's nothing, you know, it was once said, I don't know if it was Benjamin Franklin or who, you know, there's only one thing worse than not reading, and that's being able to read and not doing it. And I say there's only one thing worse than not reading the Bible, and that's being able to and not doing it. What a shame to be in a free country and be able to read the Bible and not do it every day. Who wouldn't have time for that? That would be a shame. People around the world would do envy us. We have a chance to read God's love letter, unless you don't look at God as His love letter to you or Him loving you, but it's really God's love letter to you. And we have it, and it's the keys to life, and there's this battle going on, and while we're in it, it makes us stronger and stronger. Why in the world? Why wouldn't we do it? I guess you don't really believe it if a person doesn't. And there are a lot of people that profess to be Christians, but who knows if they are, because they really don't have a heart for the Word of God. But when you love God, you love His Word. There is no one that you want to be more intimate with than God. No one. He's first. And you want to know His Word so that you know how to live and I know how to live. We must know His Word or else we'll be deceived. We're in an age now where many are being deceived. Many doubt, many challenged. Many lose their faith, walk away from it. In hordes, walking away from it. Because they don't know the Word of God. Because if they did, the fear of hell would be in their heart. Because that's what the Bible says they're going to go. That's where they're going to go. So they can't believe it. You know, we must be diligent in reading the Word of God every day in our day and age so that we aren't deceived and we can help others not to be deceived. We must be ready to give every man an answer. And we know that by being in the Bible. And so we need to test the spirits. We can test it by the Holy Spirit's power and guidance to us and by the Word of God. But you say, well, how do I know I won't be deceived? Well, look ahead a little bit here to verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Thank God. When you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be deceived. Because greater is he in you than he that's in the world. Satan won't be able to snatch you out of his hand. So we don't have to worry. We have someone greater in us. So number one, do not believe every spirit. But secondly, test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. We match everything up with the Word of God. Many people are being deceived. Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it, but narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So we can't go by the majorities. We can only go by the Word of God. That gate, entering into heaven, is very narrow, and Jesus himself said, there's few who find it. There's not these great crowds that find it. There's few, very few who find it that are truly born again and have changed lives. We can say amen because just look around. Anywhere you go, I don't run into many Christians on the road, I'll tell you that. Where are they all? Or in the store or anywhere else? There's few who find it. It seems very few. Go in a restaurant, see how many pray over their food. You'll be the minority. You'll be the only one, as a matter of fact. Few who find it. Many profess it. Where are they? Galatians chapter 1. So important that we know the Word of God. Galatians 1, verse 6. I marvel, Paul writes, that you are, and he's writing to this church, Galatia, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that what you have received, let him be accursed. And then in verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. He's saying, don't be a man pleaser. Don't listen to any other gospel. Don't follow the crowd. Jump on the bandwagon if it's false. He says, I'm not out to persuade men. I don't have to persuade you. As Christians, all we have to do is present the gospel. Realistically, and that was true in my life, I'm sure in yours, it was up to me to believe it or not. It wasn't because someone was persuading me. No one could ever persuade me to be a Christian. I listened to the facts. I listened to people. I looked up the facts. I came to God, and he gave me the faith to believe. That's the way it works. Paul says, I'm not out here to persuade men. I'm pleasing God. Do I seek to please men? No. For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. See, he's saying, I really wouldn't be listening to the Lord in my life. I really wouldn't be a servant of the Lord if I'm really out to please people. See, because I might compromise what I say and present if I want to please people. He says, I'm not out to do that. There are those people that want to please men and want a following. If I seek to please men, I'm not going to be a good servant of the Lord. You know, there are many things people don't want to hear today, like sin, hell, judgment, putting the Lord first, staying holy. There are many things people do want to hear today. Things that please the flesh, like it says in 2 Timothy 4, 2-5, they have itching ears and they want to hear what they want to hear. Hey, that makes me feel good. I don't know if it's better to walk out of church feeling great or convicted. Probably convicted. Sorrowful. Because, boy, if we allow the Lord to reach our heart, there's always going to be change that has to happen in us. We'll hear a message and, oh. You know, we got to be sure that we're listening to the truth and not just really what we want to hear. Then there are times the word can lift you up and it's great. And you can leave happy because you're not worried about anything. But it's got to be the Lord talking to us. Not man, but the Lord talking to us through his word. And you need to search the scriptures no matter what you hear. You know, Acts 17, if you want to turn there, Acts 17, verse 10 and 11. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And at Berea there, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. This church was right on because they listened to the word, they were taught, they listened, and then they went home and searched the scriptures to see, is this really true? We have to test things all by the word of God. Is it really true? And they did. Back to our text, verse 2. And by this you know the Spirit of God. How are you going to know when the Spirit of God is speaking? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. It's one that confesses that Jesus Christ, God's Son, became man in the flesh, and he's the Messiah. Emmanuel, God with us. That's one that's truly born again and believes in Christ. They believe that he is come in the flesh, the Son of God. We call this the incarnation. Jesus, the Son of God in the flesh, took on a bodily form. He's that God-man who came to this world to suffer and die for our sins. We confess that. We believe he's God in the flesh, the Son of God, and we bow to him as Lord and Savior. There are a lot of cults who don't believe that. They believe he was created, a created being. Just bring up to them Jesus Christ's incarnation, that he's the Son of God, God in the flesh, and he came to this earth. They won't agree with you. He had to be that because he had to be sinless to be the offering for our sin. That's why he had to be God in the flesh, the Son of God, without sin. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Jesus was there and all the time. All things were made with through him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. But in verse 1, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's God, part of the Godhead, the Trinity. He always was, and he was the agent of creation. We believe that as Christians. And he came to this earth in bodily form to redeem us. It tells us that in Galatians 4. He came to redeem us at that appointed time. So back to our text. verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Everyone that confesses that Jesus Christ has become in the flesh is of God. If they tell you there's another way, they're not of God. Those people are true teachers. Verse 3, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. See, people have a hard time believing that he would come to this earth and become flesh. And they don't believe that. Maybe he was a teacher or a prophet, but they can't believe that. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come of the flesh, is not of God. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. The thing is, there's no way of forgiveness for them. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which we have heard was coming and is now already in the world, which we went over in chapter 2 there. They're the spirit of Antichrist. They don't believe in Jesus being God's Son, God in the flesh. People love to live for pleasure and self and their way. See, Jesus calls for commitment. They don't want to commit to a narrow way. So they're ready to receive lies and believe in something that isn't so constraining, that will give them a life that they want to lead. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. Here's what these people don't understand. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. God will not be deceived or mocked. Don't be deceived. He will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. And if a person doesn't want to believe these things, they will reap judgment. No one can mock God. But, verse 4, you are of God, speaking to the Christians there. You are of God, little children. We are of God, we believers, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The false teachers, the prophets, the liars, they will not overcome you. That doctrine will not overcome you, will not overcome me. I've gone on these many years as a Christian. They have not overcome me. They have nothing to share with me. Because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And who is in me? Who is in you? The Holy Spirit. And he's greater. We're not going to be deceived. We're not going to give up on our faith, because greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. We have the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you might be somewhere where there's no Christians around, but we're not going to be overcome, because greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. The Lord's always with us and in us. We know false teaching. You know what it is? We have a lie detector living in us. We have a lie detector everywhere we go. He's called the Holy Spirit. So we know what's a lie. You know, the red warning light goes on when we hear a lie. Hey, that's a lie. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit and we're born again. We have overcome them, the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, they are of the world. You notice verse 4, you are of God, we Christians. They are of the world. We're born of God. They're born of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. They are of the world. And the world listens to them. And they speak as if they're in the world. They are concerned about this world and the things of this world. And the world and people in the world listen to them. By the world, he means people who are apart from God, who follow this world, live for this world in the flesh and not the spirit, living for the things here on this earth. They think we Christians are foolish because they're of the world. But we have the truth and they are deceived. They are carnally minded, the Bible tells us. See, there's two kinds of people, of the world and of God. Verse 4 and 5. You are of God, overcome them. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. Because we're of the world, we're of God, when we speak, those that know God hear us. And we listen to people that know God. But he who is not of God does not hear us. And isn't that true? When we speak about spiritual things, those that believers that are believers hear us. But when we speak of truth like this, we're sharing today, those that are of the world, they do not hear us. That's why they don't get it. That's why they don't listen, because they're of the world. And they don't get it. They're not of us. We are of God, and he who knows God hears us, other Christians, other believers. He who is not of God does not hear us when we share the truth. They just don't hear us. They don't believe it. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We know where a person's at because we know who listens to us and who doesn't. But we don't have to worry because we know truth. We have the spirit of God in us. And greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Next week we get back to love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. God, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that we have the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for giving us life. We pray tonight that you would bring comfort to our hearts, that you would bless us as we're going to pray, and pray you would encourage us to pray for the things that are needful right now. And we pray, Lord, that we would have the confidence that you hear us. It's so wonderful to be a Christian and to be your child and to be able to approach you at any time. We thank you for that, Lord, and we thank you that we know truth, and that you keep deceit from us because we have the Holy Spirit. As we worship you now, please don't let us be thinking about anything else, but let us just be focusing on you in these words we sing, and we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.